2WI.
KC2WI, this is KD2FPM. I'm actually mobile tonight, so I don't have access to the preamble.
Okay. I didn't know if I, you know, what was going on or not, but I didn't hear anything. I just got off the other repeater talking with KC2QXG for the last half an hour by EchoLink from Syracuse. And we were talking about the possibility of doing a field day up here. So, without further ado, I'll pick the net up. This is KC2WI, and this is the Black River Valley service net. This net meets every night, 9 o'clock, on the Boonville Amateur Radio Cobra repeater, 146.655. The repeater is located in Jackson Hill, southwest of Boonville. This is an informal net. All operators, all licensed operators are encouraged to check in with it without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times. Can break the net at any time. I'll now take a short pause just in case there's any emergency traffic. Over. Okay, hearing none, this is KC2WI. My name is Pete, and I'll be the net controller for the evening. And we're looking for any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations at this time. Over. Okay, do we have any EchoLink stations? Over.
This is Kilo, Delta 2, Foxtrot, Papa Mike, Kevin James checking in through the EchoLink system, and I will let the other station come in.
Kilo, Delta 2, Gillette, Whiskey, Charlie, Matt, and Oneana checking in by EchoLink.
All right, we got KD2FPM, KD2JWC, and I guess that's it for the EchoLinks. We'll take those. Go ahead, Kevin James.
All right, this is KD2FPM, Kevin James out here. I'm actually at Pinder's Corners tonight. We're doing our fire drill, wrapping up here and getting ready to head out. Got 29 degrees, it looks like, on the outside, some flurries overhead, not much going on today, so today was kind of a light day for me, just trying to catch up and get some things done. With that, I'll say 7-3, I'll hand it back to net control. This is KD2FPM.
Okay, very good. I was up in the Adirondacks today. I intended to come back in the morning, but I should know better than that ever happening. I didn't get up real early, and then I said, well, you know, I got to do this, and I got to look at that, and I got to write this up, and I spent a good part of the day on a computer, so I did, I didn't come home till after dark here. Supposed to maybe snow a little bit overnight. I don't think it's much, but, you know, at least I got out before there was any kind of anything on the roads. I got something to do tomorrow morning. I'm looking at the forecast here, 3 to 5 inches of snow on Wednesday, and then the temperature goes down. And unfortunately, the coldest day of the year is going to be Saturday, which is the big day of the Branningham Winterfest. That's the parade and all that stuff. There's also activities on Sunday, and the high is going to be -5. That's in the valley here, so it's probably going to be -8 or something like that up there, and then the high on Sunday is +4, and it would be really, really nice if that doesn't happen, but I don't have any, you know, maybe it would moderate a little bit, but you know, this is just a massive cold front, and it's going to come whether or not, you know, snow, you can say, well, it might not happen. Anyway, why couldn't it have shifted a week, you know, 1 week or two? Today up there, up in Adirondacks, it was pretty much a dull day. It started out, it wasn't, you know, it looked like the sun might be out, but it just got overcast and dull. It wasn't particularly cold, but Anyway, that's your report from up there, so let's go over to KD2JWC, that. Go ahead.
Evening, everyone up in North Country.
KD2JWC here. I'm actually at Pinder's Corners with KD2FPM. We're wrapping up our drill here, so not a whole lot going on this end. Kind of getting ready to do some stuff, and maybe hopefully it might actually snow a little bit. I know. I'm going to get shot for that one probably, but I would actually like to see some snow. I'd like to be able to go ride and actually plow some snow. I have something to do. So not a whole lot going on here, so I'm not going to tie the repeater up for too long. 7 degrees, everyone, and I will give it back to Net Control, KD2J8WC.
Okay, well, Matt, you may get, they're saying, it says 3 to 5 inches of snow over the middle of the week. It doesn't say, there's nothing, you know, in the wording here that says lake effect. I just think that's going to be snow when this front's coming in. I suspect, because I think I saw the same thing up in Lake Pleasant, which is sort of really, you know, if you get more or less the same amount predicted at the same time, you know, then you know, and you know, here and there, then you know it's not lake effect. It's, you know, just front coming in snow. If you get a lot more there than here, then you know it's nor'easter, coastal storm kind of stuff. And if you get a lot here and none there, then it's lake effect. Okay, thanks for checking in. This is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley Service Net.
N2PFM.
Okay, we got N2PFM. And anyone else for the Black River Valley Service Net?
WA2U, just wait for you to get through the portion there, Pete.
Okay, we got into PFM WA2U, and we'll take those two. N2PFM, KC2WI, over.
Yes, good evening, Pete, and everybody over on the net. Got a temperature here of 32 degrees. Temperature range today was 25 to 39. No snow, but we're going to see what's going to happen. This, like you said, the snow's going to be about the same. We shouldn't get lake effect. Read what I saw on the Weather Service, National Weather Service website, that there won't be a lot of snow coming at once, but there'll be a significant accumulation over with the small amounts over the next few days. So, we got the snowblower ready, and we'll get a couple more things. I got more space ready to bring lots more wood in, of course, for the thing, then plug in the heat tape again, that's for sure, for at least Saturday and Sunday, that's for sure. So, nothing too much else to report. We'll say God bless, and 73s, and knock wood here, knock, knock on the wood, that the computer here is staying running all right. Internet's been stable, been very happy so far. Let's hope it continues for a long time. God bless, and to PFM clear.
Yeah, Al, I'm looking at the National Weather Services and the Weather Underground and comparing them and comparing locations. It looks like it's saying here 3 to 5 on Wednesday, saying Lake Pleasant 1 to 3. I'm trusting the Weather Underground less. They seem to be overstating. They seem to have overstated the snow most of the time. And the National Weather Service showing from tonight right through most of the week, you know, scattered snow showers, chance snow showers, 50%, 60%. You know, they're not, you know, they're saying for Lake Pleasant 1 to 3 tonight. They seem to be, look in Glenfield, they seem to be a lot more conservative. As far as I'm concerned, I'd like to either see no snow, zip, you know, zip, or a foot, you know, foot plus, so that we really get enough to recover the trails and go riding. But, you know, 3 to 5 inches is not, yeah, you could go out if it's sort of heavy, wet snow, and it settles down, you could go out. If it's snow at 15 degrees or 5 degrees, that's fluff and it's useless. So as much as I just as soon not have to do any snow clearing, if we're going to get snow, let's get enough to be worth something and not just be a nuisance, I guess. That's what I'm thinking anyway. WA2U, this is KC2WI, over.
Okay, Pete, WA2U in the Black River Valley Service Net, WA2U at the northeast end of Hinckley Reservoir, where it's, I guess, 26 degrees. And let's see what's going on. I agree with you. It's, you know, you get that nuisance amount, so not a whole lot you can do with it. Had a great weekend. Let's see, Friday night we were in here. Saturday night we went to a party up the road, and oh boy, there was a lot of people. They had a big, huge bonfire, and we had a great time up there, and music, and lots of food, and we left there and came home and listened to more music, and played some CDs, and had a great Saturday evening, and we've been managing to get into our gym. Haven't gotten up to full steam yet, but just getting psychologically adjusted to it. I rode on the Iodine and for a few minutes today, about 15 minutes. That'll get like 5 miles, but hey, 5 miles is better than no miles, right? And Kathy did some stuff on the weight machine. We have the weight machine, Iodine, elliptical, weight bench, and Roman chair. It's all set up out there. Now we've got a stereo set up. In fact, I ordered a new Sony BDPS-55 today. Newer. He goes, oh yeah, brand new in the box. So it's amazing what these things cost nowadays. We wanted to get the same one that we had in the living room, just so we don't have to have we have enough controllers as it is, so I don't need any more controllers. So that'll get hooked up in the gym and interfaced with there. I got a digital to analog converter ordered box for that with it. So because the receiver that's out there, there's no HDMI inputs, unlike our surround sound. So did some of that, and Kathy went to the Garden Club meeting today with a friend of ours, and had a few hours, and they have a good time with that. Got a call last week that our dining room chairs have been all refinished and done, so guy wanted to bring them up, but we had other stuff going on last week, so kind of looking forward to that. And speaking of Saturday, we're going to have a get-together because some of our friends have the week off from school and things, and we're going to get together on Saturday night. There's a few of us that are hardy goers. I remember going into camp when it's 28 below zero and having a few 807s and sitting by the wood stove. But there are a few other people, I'm sure, that would not show up. So we have postponed it from the 13th to, I guess, February 20th. But that'll work. So that's about it. Had some problems with a generator in camp, and I'm investigating that now with my IX-2000, so it's one of those inverter things, and the inverter is to replace only $521, and the generator brand new was $600, so you can figure that out. So we're going to take it up to Boonville, someone's going to look at it. The next choice is go to a Honda. I hate, you know, going to the same thing. It's like when you buy Sony stuff, but if it works, so we've got a Honda in our shed that works great, but if that's what it takes, that's what we'll do. Turn it back over to you, Pete. Thanks for doing it at WATU.
Well, I don't know what kind of generator what it is. Not a Honda. It's an inverter generator, but somebody else's brand.
Yeah, I tried. Generac. Yeah, the Honda, we still have the Honda that we had up at Tug Hill Plateau Turf Time when we used to do that. That's still running like a top, but I thought I'd give this other brand a shot, but the thing's hermetically sealed. We're going to bring it up to Boonville, have the guy tell us that it can't be fixed. Maybe it's something, you know, wrong with it that can be fixed, but I doubt it by the sounds of it, WATU. So it's a, you know, the other, what did I just say here, IX 2000 by Generac, WATU.
I wonder what the generator actually generates. In other words, it's a gasoline engine hooked to a generator or alternator of some sort, whether it's a DC generator that's then rectified and put into the inverter just to create the stable voltage, or whether it's a DC generator in the first place, which I doubt. It's a good question, John, because it's probably an alternator, and then they just rectify that. It doesn't have to be too smooth, you know, because they're gonna turn it back into nice, you know, regulated DC with the electronics. So here's my question. What would happen if you just dispensed with the inverter stuff completely and took the is it 120 volt alternator, which would not be 60 cycles obviously, is it a 12 volt like a car alternator, is it 24, is it 4, you know, wonder what it is. As I've always thought that I've always wanted to do is take an antique, you know, Briggs & Stratton lawnmower. I don't know if it's a post-World War II or pre. It was on my grandfather's old real lawnmower, one of those little black Briggs & Strattons. I haven't started it in years, but it's in the garage, and it's, you know, more or less safely stored. And I used to take it out once or twice a summer. It's mounted on a board and, you know, wrap the rope around it and pull it a couple times and let it go putt, putt, putt. I just haven't done it forever. But I always thought that, you know, either that or some whatever hooked up to a car alternator and then the battery, you know, which you basically need. And you could have a 12-volt generator, and it would run, you know, it would be charging, so to speak, the battery. The battery would be like a big capacitor to keep it, you know, between the battery and the regulator and the alternator, and dispense with taking a, you know, what a lot of guys do with field day and stuff, they take their 12-volt radio, and they take their 20-amp Astron power supply or whatever, and they plug that into a generator. So they're going from 120 volts AC to, you know, down to 12 volts, and you could dispense with that and just go 12 volts right off. So it would be interesting if they say the thing is not repairable because that sealed inverter module, well, first of all, you could build your own, you know. I'm sure if you cared to do it for less than $500, you could probably do it. But the other thing is, what's coming out of the actual mechanical alternator, and is that some kind of a usable voltage with some sort of simple, you know, electronics? Might be worth looking into, you know, for sort of ham radio tinkering use anyway.
Important comment on that one.
Yeah, go ahead, George.
I answer BFM. Yes, there was a thing some years ago in QST called the pump, the PUP, the pump. And it was just what you're saying. It made all the 12 volts you needed, and you just use an external inverter if you want to convert it up to 110 volts. And you can get, I know you can download it online, because I have seen it there already. It's called, on the QST, the pump. And you might give it a try. That sounds like it would be something that would be just up his alley if indeed the inverter and that is blown on that thing. It's a PFM.
I,
I've seen those articles. I've seen, you know, things on the internet. I've seen, I remember seeing one where basically they said, you know what, take a the vertical shaft, you know, lawnmower motors are a dime a dozen, and you could actually take a lawnmower, an old lawnmower, and use the whole chassis of it, and, you know, mount the alternator, you know, it, with the shaft up and down and the pulley and whatever, and you've got wheels and you can push it around. The only thing is, I don't know what happens with alternators when you turn them sideways. Are the bearings meant to have a sideways load like that? But it's not rocket science. You take a gasoline engine, you put a pulley on it of suitable size and a belt, go into an alternator which you mount, you know, parallel to it, and you hook it to a battery. And back in the ancient days, alternators had external voltage regulators, and they were mechanical, you know, vibrator thingies, but now they're mostly all just electronics put right into the alternator. It's going to regulate the 13.8 volts, and, you know, if you're worried, you might want to put a little protection circuit in case you get over voltage, but that's the only argument for running your radio through the power supply, is that if the alternator screws up and all of a sudden puts out 150 volts or something, it might blow up your power supply, but it probably won't blow up your expensive radio. So, yeah, this is a little different. You're not using a 12-volt alternator. You're using whatever's built into that, just bypassing the inverter part of it. So you'd have to find out what that is. But, you know, voltage regulators are not rocket science to build. Whether they're good old-fashioned linear regulators, those are real easy to build. And switching ones, you could either build or buy a little module. It'd be less than $500. Anyway, KC2WI, any further comments on that subject?
WA2.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, thanks, George. You're right about the rectifier. They did allude to it, and this has 220 volt output, and then it has a 12 volt DC output. But they advise you not. You know, if you hook up a battery, it's not going to back off. You got to watch that. And you think about, if you can get 36. That's the key, the RPM. You get 36 RPM and control that. But then you look at how many farms and other places had the they ran good size generators off the PTO. You know, they hook up a belt and spin things, and it's not going to be the same highly regulated voltage. But like you say, you can build up some sort of buffer and take care of that. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I should point out that it worked great. I used a circular saw. I used a bunch of things on. We put the generator away. And I always let the equipment, I only use good gas and synthetic oil. I let it, even I do it with a wood splitter. When I'm done with a wood splitter, I never shut that down when it's up at high RPM. There's a tack on. I wait for things to back off a little bit, and then I shut it down. And the generator, so when I put it away, when I talked to Generac, this one lady kept saying, you must have overloaded. No, nothing popped. I put it away. It was running. And it starts fine. I took it out here on the deck. Yeah. At the house here, and with two poles it starts. So it runs fine, just no power. It'll be interesting to see. If you get on the internet and check it out, it's kind of funny. Now that we have one, there's not a whole lot of positive comments, but might fix it. You know, otherwise, I'll buy a Honda. I love their equipment. Kathy has got her new super duper lawnmower. It's just that I thought, well, you know, I went from a Coleman 1850 pulse, which was a disaster. I took the head off. I had to rebuild it, and I did, and it still never ran right. Didn't run, you know, consistently, whatever they were using for a reference. It was all over, the voltage was all over the regulation, so I gave it to someone. They enjoyed it. They weren't going to use it for any expensive equipment, so they were happy with it. So I thought, well, I'll bump it up a notch. I'll go with the Generac. But the new Generac E, some of the Hondas, he's seen 10,000 hours logged on their hour meter. So there you go. Appreciate all the comments. So WHU, back to that.
Yeah, okay, John. Well, if you decide it's not fixable, unless they give you, they won't give you anything for it. Don't throw it out. Sounds like a project. You know, if it's 220 volts AC, it's not 220 volts AC 60 cycles. Maybe it's 400 cycles, or I would bet that it might be higher. And higher, if it's like 400, which it probably isn't that high, but let's just say it was, that's pretty common, and a 400 cycle transformer is a lot smaller than a 60 cycle one, which is why they do that in airplanes, you know. But you could transform that 220 volts to 12 or 18 or something, and then put a linear regulator on it, which is, you know, I'm good with those. I understand the concept of switching regulators, but I'm not going to build one, I guess. But you could, if it's a high frequency thing, and you could, even if it's 60 cycles, I guess, or 100 or something, you could use a 60 cycle transformer. I'm not sure what happens if you try to use, there'd be a limit, you know, because of the inductance, whatever. But let's just say it was 400 cycles, and so you could acquire at reasonable cost a transformer to make it down to 15 volts or something. If you get it now, your ripple is much, much higher frequency, so that's easier to filter out. And if you run the thing into a battery, maybe on purpose with a little bit of resistance there, you could use that to run a radio. I think you'd be pretty safe. It wouldn't be very hard to have an overvoltage sensing circuit with a relay, just a simple relay that would kick out if it senses over, 15 volts or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's not like I need another project, but boy, this is one of those things that is sort of like, it just sounds like you could turn a worthless piece of junk, which, like you say, actually has a perfectly good motor, into something that only a ham would want, I guess. But I have a thing like that. I've got one of those little, probably Harbor Freight type, $100 little generators. I got it from Ed Yancey up here in Lowellville when I was in there one day. I was looking at it, and I bought something else, I don't remember. I said, "Hey, well, what about that thing?" He says, "Well, the guy said it doesn't work, or I don't know, whatever." We started it up, it's a little tiny two-stroke motor. We started it up, and the motor runs, but if you look at the voltage meter, it's just, the needle's bouncing up once in a while from zero, so there's a loose connection or something, and I've had it for a couple of years now. He said whatever I was paying him for, he rounded it up, and he gave it to me, and it was $10 or something. And of course, it was not worth it because it's still sitting there. But that was, I figured I could fix it. But again, if I can't get the alternator part of it apart and find where the broken wire or whatever is, if I could just take that all off, it's only an 800 watt generator or something like that. But you know what? You don't need 800 watts to run a 100 watt radio. So again, if you could mechanically get that, a small car alternator hooked to the thing, you'd be all set. Anyway, well, so much for that. It's another project, but I would like to try it. This is KC2WI, and just let's see if there's anyone else around for the Black River Valley Service Net. Over.
Quick comment from WATU.
Go ahead.
Okay, Pete, well, I'm going to take it up to Boonville, and I'm going to see what the guy says. And he says, well, in the converter or whatever. Inverter. And I won't throw it away. I'll give you a call, and then you can decide whether or not you, you know, it's just, the engine's good. I've taken really good care of it and stuff, so. But we'll leave it at that. So yeah, either it'll work for me or it might work for you, W-A-2-U.
Yeah, is the guy a Generac dealer, or is he a, does he sell Hondas, or in other words, if you bought the Honda, you'd buy it from someone else, you know, like you say, if the engine's good, maybe it's worth a few bucks for the next guy who brings the one in that he ran out of oil or something.
Yeah, he's a, he's the number I got from Generac, so he's a repair shop, and he's, you know, kind of like, well, off the record, he says that these are kind of a challenge to take apart, but he says nothing like an Onan. He says the Onan, like the RVs have in there, if you have to get in there, you might as well just get another. He says they're very, very difficult, the inverter version of the Onan generator. So, but, you know, this, it's, well, we'll find out. We'll find out. The story begins, WATU.
Oh, yeah, just see what happens, but you never know. Yeah, and actually, if the motor runs good, rather than screwing around with the alternator part and converting and whatever, you know, that might be a candidate for a conversion to an automobile alternator. But how many watts, how many kilowatts is it?
And I misspoke. It has two 120 volt receptacles. So there's a 120 volt receptacle on the top, another one below that, and then there's a 12 volt out. So it's 2,000 watts, WATU.
Yeah, so it's, the motor's really overkill for running your, you know, your 100 watt radio, like I said. You know, this little old Briggs & Stratton or this little thing that I got. You know, you could put some big, you know, truck bus alternator on that. You know, I mean, you know, figure it out. 12 volts and 10 amps is 120 watts. So 100 amps is 1200 watts. And you know, you're not going to use. You could run a home field base station, including all the lighting and the computers and the inverters for the coffee pots and everything else with that, probably. But, well, anyway, yeah, see what happens. And, you know, I guess, you know, being a good ham, you're not going to throw it out. So, anyway, oh, well, you know, if I had a big garage, I'd be having projects like this all the time, and it'd be really interesting. But I can only do so much, and usually what happens is I save something to do something, and then 10 years later it's still there somewhere. But interesting thought. I kind of like the Rube Goldberg, but the old Briggs & Stratton, and I mean, just because, you know, people get a kick out of that stuff too. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you take to field day, or you take to a demonstration and say, well, this is what we do, we tinker with, we build this stuff. People like that. They understand that, you know. I got a cold practice oscillator I built years and years ago. It's in a cigar box. Unfortunately not a real classic wooden cigar box, but you know, it's in a cardboard cigar box. I got a big 4-inch speaker and I got knobs, and I mean, that's much more fascinating to people than a slick, you know, commercially made cold practice oscillator, kids especially, but everybody's fascinated with that thing. And all it is, it's a 555 timer, and, you know, it's an old circuit. Anyway, KC2WI, this is the North Country Group, this is the Black River Valley Service Net, and any more check-ins or comments, over. Well, I managed to do it again. I made the fire in the wood stove here and got it cranking right up to get hot, and left it too long and don't have too much coals left, and I have to throw more wood in it. But that's okay. It warmed the house up from the
standby temperature. This is KC2WY, last call for questions, comments, late check-ins for the Black River Valley Service Net. Over.
KC2NBU.
KC2NBU, go ahead.
I just turned the radio on 2 minutes ago. I heard something about a 2200 watt generator. That's about it. Got 28 degrees up on the hill here, and just watching some Top Gear. Over.
Wow, 22. It's 31 here. It's pretty warm. Enjoy it while it lasts because it's going right down. John was talking about Generac inverter generator that quit, no output. You know, the inverter modules are sealed, you know, probably sealed, potted. Can't fix it, $500, you know. Well, he's going to find out anyway. But that's, and we were talking about that and about taking an old motor and old Briggs & Stratton or something and a car alternator and a battery and making a 12-volt generator to run your radios and stuff like that. Over.
I built a couple of the gas-powered 12-volt generators. One gas, one diesel. And I was kind of disappointed because apparently the quick charge, you need to actually go above and beyond the 14.5 volts that the automotive alternators have the regulator set for. And so I was really disappointed how long it took to actually charge up the solar battery bank using these car type generators.
So those batteries must have a different charge characteristic than a, you know, regular, you know, lead acid car type battery for charging the solar battery. It must have a little different something there because, you know, the alternator in your car charges the battery pretty quick.
Actually, that's not true. Actually, the charging system in your car is designed to maintain a full charge. It is not designed to bring a battery back from dead. Needless to say, a car alternator, yes, it can charge a dead battery, but to bring it up to a full charge, it may take, you know, 6 or 7 hours of driving. Whereas they do have, in fact, I have one. I have a permanent magnet alternator that was designed for charging batteries in a very short period of time. And what you do is you shut the alternator off when the batteries reach their full charge voltage. But in reality, it's dumping, who knows, 15, 20 volts. Maybe more than 20 volts, I don't know. But until the batteries are charged, it's whatever. It works much, much quicker than what a car alternator system will do.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of interesting you say that because I still don't understand it exactly, how you can take a virtually dead battery, go out in the cold, you go out there and the battery may not be dead, but you turn the key and it goes click, 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 and, you know, if you turn on any lights, they're extremely dim if they come on at all. And you could take some piddly little, you know, portable battery jump starter thingy, click, clip that on the battery, you know, wait a little bit and start the car. That little, and all that's in that jump starter is a 10 amp hour, maybe, gel cell, you know? But yeah, that's enough to start the car. And all you got to do is, so that, I don't understand that. It doesn't just seem like you could put that many electrons into the battery that quickly. And certainly that 10 amp hour battery with its relatively small tabs and whatever, through 20 seconds, and there's enough energy in there to start the battery, start the car, and you can do it a bunch of times. It's not the smart thing to do, but, you know, obviously you don't, you know, you keep driving or you let the car run or something, but it seems like to me the battery might not be topped off, but boy, it seems to put a lot of charge in there pretty quickly.
KC2NBU, no traffic.
Baking soda and water, put them in each of the six cells in there.
let them bubble and everything. When they stop bubbling, you drain them out, put water in, let it sit a while to bubble again, drain that out, and then you put alum, they call it, right? It's also used as a cooking spice. You put that and fill it in, then charge the battery on slow for 24 hours, and you can, it's amazing. I tried that with a battery that only put out 4.7 volts before. It puts out, stays 12.2, although I didn't try to start a vehicle with it. I had it out in the last 13 below zero, and it still held steady at 12.2 volts. I wouldn't try to say it's going to work like a new battery, but it was interesting in how well it did work in 2PFM.
Yeah, with 12.2 volts, it just proves that you got all six cells working again. The proof is in the how many amps it puts out and what the voltage remains at under load. I've had limited success cleaning batteries and then refilling them with electrolyte. The biggest killer of batteries is the sediment in the bottom of the battery. And eventually it gets high enough that it shorts the plates out.
Yes, Roger, I know that. I had that already more than once in my time. And I was surprised. I did leave it outside and used it in a vehicle I have sitting out here for, I got it down to zero already, and it started. But I tried just to leave it outside in 13 below and see what happened, but I was too busy with other things to connect it up to the vehicle and try to start it there. But I was surprised that at least down to zero, it was sitting outside like temperatures in the teens and 20s for several days, that it did actually start the six-cylinder Chrysler motor. So, it certainly, as I say, it was probably, like you said, limited success, but I was amazed that it even worked at all like it did. And to PFM.
Well, any lead-acid battery, when you take it down to a full discharge, the electrolyte turns into water. And that's why a dead battery will freeze, and a fully charged battery won't. The battery would have broken.
Yes, Roger, on that, definitely, because you said if there was no acid in there, it would have, that nickel or the battery would have otherwise frozen right up. I know it's not the battery that's been laying around here for about 6 or 7 years, so I figured I had nothing to lose to try that when I saw that on the internet, and sure enough, I'm glad. Now they have those super capacitor things where it's something like so many 100-farad capacitors in series that they use now as you can use as a boost or whatever to start a vehicle. Never gotten them. They're a little expensive to buy, but I've understood from other people that they've had good success with them, N2PFM.
We're using a jump pack that would literally fit in my shirt pocket. It's the size of probably 3 packs of cigarettes, and it's 750 cold cranking amps, and I've jump started 10 cars at the auction with dead batteries with it on one charge. It's just amazing. It uses lithium ion cells just like what your cell phone would use.
Yeah, so Roger, like one of the things showed you use those things, you use that capacitor thing like I said, but you also use a lithium ion, of course, that way if you get any spikes or whatever, you don't end up blowing up the battery as well. The lithium ion seems to kind of quell things a little, so to speak.
Yeah, well, this is fitting in my pocket, and like I said, I think I bought it on eBay for $69 or something, which is comparable to what the big 17 amp hour heavy battery pack boosters cost.
Yeah, that's a roger. I've seen those on eBay and that already too. Okay, I gotta get going. I gotta be up early in the morning. So we'll say God bless. See you in 73s and take care. And that Dodge Grand Caravan is still running with 106,000 miles on it. 206,000 on it. Sorry, N2PFM.
If you get a chance, I don't know if George or WAT, I've been on and off the frequency here. Ray, if you get a chance, and if Pete, look up the lithium phosphate. That's the new thing now, lithium phosphate, WAT.
Yeah, I have. Unfortunately, the only real manufacturers are in China, and the warranty that they offer is almost non-existent, and so you buy these and you have to buy them one cell at a time, so each cell is 3.2 volts, so I'd need like 49 of these or 40 something of these cells to run my 120 volt electric Volkswagen. And again, the complaint is that they will not warranty them at all. So if you get a defective one, which is quite common, you know, you're out $200-$300 for that one cell.
And who needs that? Yeah, it's like anything else, I guess, right? Trying to find a good source, you know, you see all the stuff out there, and then you try to find it. I have a whole story. I'm not going to take the time. I had to locate a digital analog converter, call all around. People are going to, I know what they were doing. They were going to look and try and find one and then get back to me. They're supposed to get back to me today. So I called some place in New York City, and they go, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. You plug it into the coaxial output of the Blu-ray, and you're all set to go, and it costs this much. So, but it's all, again, I was just lucky. I found someone knew back what I was talking about. Yeah, batteries are the whole science, very, very interesting. I know the optimum battery that I have in camp, kind of interesting looking. It's got its own charger, but I really like the idea of a battery. You can turn it upside down and no acid spilling all over everything, and no fumes. And all right. We'll chat again. I just thought I'd throw that in about the lithium phosphate. I was reading some about that in the QSD WATU.
No, lithium phosphate at this point is old school. I guess the newest thing that we're not allowed to play with is called an ultracapacitor. The downside is they're like 3,000 volts. The upside is they can take a charge from zero to full in about the same amount of time that